Jarrett Worrell so eloquently read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, which I interpret to be the gospel in miniature. If we just read those 18 verses, we have the gospel in miniature. If you study that at all, it helps us to understand and to embrace Jesus' life from the very beginning. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. So, it doesn't say Jesus was in the beginning. It says the Word was in the beginning. So, the personification, the person of Jesus, was not there at the beginning of the creation of the world. The Word was. The Word was in the beginning. We go further down, and we read that the Word became flesh in verse 14. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and full of truth. So that Word that was from the beginning of time with God was made flesh in the person named Jesus. And Jesus is full of grace and full of truth. So, in this particular few verses of John chapter 1, we read from the beginning in verse 17, the law indeed was given through Moses. And we know that. We got the Ten Commandments, right? Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we get the law that comes through Moses, and grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. Now, next Sunday I won't be with you, and Jean Reardon is going to be preaching, and she is going to be preaching on baptism, the baptism of Jesus. And the following Sunday, on the 17th, I'll be preaching on perfection, looking at the New Testament on be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, and looking at the Ten Commandments as a template for that, right? So, a little bit of a preview on the 17th about what perfection is and what perfection is not. Okay? Perfection, in our minds, is something that is totally immaculate, right? But perfection in biblical times, in ancient times, wasn't something that was totally immaculate, something that was totally perfect, like Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way, right? That doesn't exist. It's absurd to think that we can be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. It's impossible. Amen? Good. So we're on the same page. Perfection has to do with function and purpose. For example, a hammer is perfect when it's able to drive a nail into a board. A stove is perfect and an oven is perfect when it's able to prepare food. A vehicle, a car, a truck, a tractor, is perfect when it gets us from point A to point B, right? Church is perfect when it's able to reflect the light of God in the community and within the people of God in that church. A marriage is perfect. I got your attention, right? A marriage is perfect when it's able to extend grace and able to love the other to help them to grow in the love and the knowledge of God. Okay, there's no such thing as a perfect child either. But a child is perfect when that child grows up to be that adult to which is fulfilling their purpose that God has intended for them in the world. But we know that a hammer, the head of a hammer flies off the handle, right? Right? We know that stoves break. We know that cars break, vehicles break down, right? We know that. We know that churches are imperfect. We know that marriages break apart. We, my friends, you and I are sinners, but we are perfect when we fulfill our function and purpose in the world. Jesus Christ came into the world because God knew that we could not fulfill according to the Ten Commandments completely. We can't. Government is supposed to represent the people and to serve the people, but sometimes government becomes clumsy and self-serving. Things that we want to work well don't always perform their function. Thus we have Jesus Christ that came into the world to give us grace. Grace is the presence of the love of God in our world, in our life, that we may be redeemed and that we may be able to start over again. So we're forgiven. The pieces are brought back together. And we're made whole once more through the grace and love of God, which we ourselves are told to and taught to extend to each other. So I'm going to share with you a metaphor and a story that kind of just brings it all together. I remember when I found out that I was going to be a daddy and how beautiful that was. And though a marriage is contractual, having a child is not. Okay, even if you don't have any children, your parents knew that and you experienced that yourself. So you can divorce your spouse, but you can't divorce your children, right? Theoretically, you can't. You can't. It's no way. So I remember when my child was born, and I held my child in my arms in the messiness of afterbirth. You know, I brought my child into the world and caught my child and held my child and cut the umbilical cord, and I held my baby. And from that point on, I was committed. You know, I fell in love with this little creature that I held in my arms. That baby was mine, and I was willing to do anything and everything that I could, that was in my power, to give that child everything that it needed to succeed in its life. To defend and protect and provide for it. You bring that baby home, and then that baby starts crying 2 or 3 times in the middle of the night, and through loss of sleep, right? It's kind of like, you're still committed into that beloved relationship, but the shine is worn off, right? And then the terrible twos kick in, right? And oh my gosh, you know, this baby is such a headache. This child is so difficult. You're still committed. And as much as you love that child, the parent is imperfect. The parent is imperfect. That's why I'm such a better grandparent than I am a parent. Grandparents make better parents, by the way, I believe. God sent Jesus Christ into this world because we are sinners that don't get it right all the time. Yes, we perform our purpose and function in life, but we fall short of the glory of God to fulfill our purpose with each other, in the church, in the community, as citizens of this country. We need to do that. And that's what's so beautiful about this covenant service, Wesley's covenant service, is that it gives us the opportunity to renew our faith. And that's so valuable. To be able to renew our faith and commitment to each other and to God. So right now, I would invite you to turn to the screen. Rhett, can we go to Wesley's covenant service? Is it on there? What's after the spoken word? Well, we have communion, but we don't have the Wesley's covenant service. Well, speaking of imperfection, right? Can we do it next Sunday? Can we do that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, but we're going to have it next Sunday because it's an important part of our life, and it would go great with baptism, by the way. So Wesley's covenant service is going to come next Sunday, and it's where we renew our faith to one another and renew our faith to God. So with that in mind, we might be able to run some copies for the second service. But we will have it, I promise. Let's go to communion. The Spirit of God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Holy God, Holy One, Holy Three, before all that is, you were God. Outside all we know, you are God. After all is finished, you will be God. Archangels sound the trumpets, angels teach us their songs, saints pull us into your presence, and this is our song. Holy, holy, holy God, our life, our mercy, our might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Save us, we pray, you beyond all. Blessed is the one who comes in your name. Save us, we pray, you beyond all. Holy God, Holy One, Holy Three, you beyond the galaxies, you in the oceans, you inside the leaves, you pouring down rain, you opening the flowers, you feeding the beast of the field, you giving us your image, you carrying us through the waters, you holding us in the night, your smile on Sarah and Abraham, your hand with Moses and Miriam, your words through Deborah and Isaiah, you lived as Jesus among us, healing, teaching, dying, and rising, inviting us all to your feast. In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. You may open up that first layer. And gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all for all to drink, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for all you and all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Holy God, we remember your Son, his life with the humble, his death among the wretched, his resurrection for us all, your wisdom, our guide. Holy God, we beg for your Spirit, enliven this bread, awaken this body, pour us out for each other. Transfigure our minds, ignite your church, nourish the life of the earth, make us, while many united, make us, though broken, whole. Make us, despite death, alive. As we cry, "Come, Holy Spirit." Let's try that again. As we cry, "Come, Holy Spirit." And so the church shouts, "Come, Holy Spirit." And so the earth pleads, "Come, Holy Spirit." Your holy God, you, Holy God, Holy One, Holy Three, our life, our mercy, our might, our table, our food, our server, our hope, our ark, our dove, our sovereign, our water, our wine, our light, our treasure, our tree, our way, our truth, our life. You, Holy God, Holy One, Holy Three. Praise now, praise tomorrow. Praise forever. And so we cry, amen. Amen. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the whole world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. We thank you, God, for inviting us to this table where we have known the presence of Christ and have received all Christ's gifts. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and let us show forth your praise in our lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.